Okay, this is Chulin, Perek Shvi. Al kein lo yechlu b'nei Yisrael the Gid HaNosha. B'nei Yisrael, therefore, do not eat the Gid HaNosha. After the whole issue of Yaakov's encounter with the Malach. And there are two Gidin, actually. The Gid HaChitzoin, the Gid HaPnimi, the inner and the outer sinews. The inner is what we call the sciatic nerve, branching out from the rear of the spinal column and down the inner side of the animal's leg. The issa d'oraisa is only on the inner sinew, but the outer sinew, which runs across the thigh on the outer side of the animal's leg, is also osa midrabanan. That's by way of introduction. Mishnah Aleph, Gid HaNosha, Noeg Ba'aretz V'Chutz La'aretz. It applies both in Eretz Yisrael and outside Eretz Yisrael, b'fnei habayis, shelo b'fnei habayis, during the time of the Mikdash, and even if there's no Mikdash, b'chulin u'b'mikdashim, to both ordinary animals and kochim, animals, v'nog b'behema b'chaya, and it applies both to cattle and to beasts, to chayos, b'yorach shalimin and b'yorach shel smoil, to the right leg, to the left leg, it makes no difference. V'eino noig ba'oif m'peish ein lo kaf. Whereas it doesn't apply to the fowl, because the fowl have no cuff, spoon-shaped hip. And the posuk stresses, Al-Kein L'Yuch, B'nei Yisrael, Sigit Anosha, Hasha Al-Kaf Hayorech, which is on that spoon-like hip. V'noig b'shalil, and it applies even to a fetus found in the womb of a slaughtered animal. This is going according to the view of Rabbi Meir, that a nine-month-old, fully formed, live fetus does require its own shechita, and is not permitted through the shechita of its mother. But Rabbi Huda, Omer, Eino Noeg B'Shalil, because he holds that Kol Hasheba Behema Techelu, once you do shechita, everything that's found within the animal, even a completed, fully grown, nine-month-old baby animal is permitted, and that will permit the sinews and indeed the chelev of the animal as well. V'chelboi muta, this means to say the fat on the Gid HaNosha min ha'atoirah is permitted, although according to Rabbi Meir, it is also midrabanan. Indeed, even the fat on a sinew of the chaya, the beast, where chelev generally is permitted, is prohibited as well, midrabon. But that is, according to Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Huda, there's no such use of midrabon on with the fat of a Gid HaNosha. So muta here means both midoraisa and midrabon. Ve'ena tabochem ne'monim al-Gid HaNosha div Rabbi Meir, and we don't trust the butchers regarding the Gid HaNosha, because halacha is mechatetin acharov, that there is a painstaking process where you have to dig after even the parts which are deeply embedded in the fat of the thigh. And because it's such a painstaking process, we suspect the butchers that they will not do this difficult task conscientiously, and there would have to be hashkacha. And also because let's leave it at that. The Chomim Omer Nemonim Alav, but the Chomim say they are believed Va'al HaChelev, and they're believed on Chelev as well, to say that the animal has been properly porged and all the forbidden fats have been removed. And the Locha indeed is like that, that technically a butcher is believed on Gid HaNosha and on the Chelev, but the Tiferes brings Afilu Hochi, Tiferes Yisrael says, Ein Loikchin, we, the minig is not to buy even meat from a butcher who shechts and sells himself, unless you are certain that he is thoroughly God-fearing and reliable. Mishnah base, shelech odem yareach lenochri shegid anoshe v'socha mepnei shebekoimo nikar. You may send a kosher yareach with a to a non-Jew as a present, even though knowing that it's kosher, he might hand it on, sell it, or share it with a Jewish neighbor, and the Jew may assume the Gidonosha has been taken, when in fact it hasn't. Nonetheless, Mipnesha Makomo Nika, because it's quite discernible, it's unmistakable whether it's been cut open, the Gid has been taken or not, we don't concern ourselves that leaving this uncontrolled thigh around means that a Yid will partake of it unknowingly. A lot of discussion about when a Yid anyway could join in meat which belongs to a non-Jew and take it on his word. Simply speaking, the Gemara says we're talking about places where it's essentially a Jewish town and the meat market is kosher. All the meat in town is kosher. The vast majority, one can assume that the meat is kosher. However, what about the Gid Anosha? On that we say that is quite clearly noticeable whether it's been taken or not. Hanotel Gid Anosha Sarach Sheyitol Les Kuloi. And one who removes the Gid Anosha must remove it in its entirety, even the parts, as we said, which are deeply embedded in the thigh. Rav Yehuda Omer de la Kaimbo Mitzvah Netila, you don't have to remove it all. Only the surface portion of the sinew has to be removed, and you don't need to be mechatet achlorav to dig in that which is after that which is deeply embedded. The halacha, however, is not like that. The view is that it requires total removal. Mishnah Gimel, Ha'ichon b'git ha'nosha kezayis sufik aboim. If you ate from the Gid Anosha a kezayis, your achayev, is it, you might have thought, patently obvious, you've got to eat a kezayis of Issa. But we're stressing because the Gid Anosha is tasteless. And you might have thought, therefore, since it has no taste, it's like chewing on a piece of rubber, and therefore there's no ison. Kamash melon, there is. If you eat a kezayis of it, you get malchus. Acholo ve'imbo kezayis, maybe we want to lead in to the chiddush of the second part, that if you eat an entire gid, even though it's not a kezayis, you are also chayev, because it's what's called a birio, an independent creature on its own. And once you eat a birya, even if it's less than a kezayis, and you eat the whole substance, and even though it's less than a kezayis, you're still chayav. Ocho mezek kezayis or mezek kezayis sofik shemoinim. If you eat a kezayis of one sinew and a kezayis of the other, one on the right, one on the left, you are chayav twice. It's two separate gidin and it's two separate isurim. Sofik shemoinim, you get 80 malchus. Rabbi Yehuda says you only get 40 because, not because he disagrees with the principle, were you to eat two, you would be chayav twice. But here, Rabbi Yehuda assumes that Tanakama, as we explained, is talking about mizeh or mizeh from the right leg and from the left leg. And Rabbi Yehuda holds Gid Anosha only applies to the right, not to the left, because he darshans the word al kaf hayorech on the thigh. Which one is the thigh? The right thigh, not the left. Mishnah 4, yorech. If you cooked, you didn't remove the thigh, and then you didn't remove the sinew from the thigh, and then you cooked it all up. So the flavor has spread now throughout the meat. Obviously, you're not going to eat the sinew, but can you eat the meat itself? If there is enough sinew to impart flavor to the amount of meat that is there, and it won't be nullified, then then there's Nissa Harizu Asura. This Mishnah is obviously reflecting the view about which there is a significant machlokes, whether Yesh Begidim Benosin Tam or Im Begidim Benosin Tam, whether this Gid actually has taste or does not have taste. It's strange, it seems to me, that there could be such a machlokes about what apparently is a factual thing. Do Gidim have taste or do they not?
But they can't taste it.
Well, we can't taste it, but there's non-Jewish Kapela experts, connoisseurs, who you could get to the head chef at the Ritz, you could get them to taste it for you. However, I mean, I would suggest that if there is a flavour, it's a very weak and subtle flavour. And therefore, the machlokes in the Gemara is this called a flavour or not? But anyway, this view is obviously reflecting the opinion that yesh begidim benosin tam, that there is a flavour. And therefore, if there is enough flavor to be tasted in this amount of meat, then it will be asa ketsa misharin osa. How do we taste it? Either, well, taste it, that's the answer, taste it. The answer is the Jew is not allowed to taste it. Or it could be that a sinew, having a possibly a small amount of flavor, has the same amount, the same type of flavor as the meat, and therefore you're not going to be able to taste the one in t'other. And therefore the Mishnah says, we evaluate it kabosa balefes, like meat in turnips. If the equivalent amount of meat would give flavor into turnips, although some say we're talking here about 60, others say, and this will fit in with the view, that which I was saying, that there's a very subtle taste, barely discernible possibly. And therefore you actually need a much larger quantity of meat than 1 in 60 to give flavor into the turnips. And that is the way we evaluate it. Mishnah 5. Gid ha-anosher shenisbashalim ha-gidin. If the sinew was cooked together with other sinews, bizmang shemakiroi, if you recognize the trefa sinew, sorry. Yeah. The gid ha-anosher was mixed in with other kosher sinews. So there's nothing wrong with eating the other one. If you can recognize which is which, bizmang shemakiroi, then obviously you take out and throw away, remove the forbidden gid ha-anosher. And as far as the rest of the gidin are concerned, benosin tam, again, you'll make the calculation whether there was enough to be mevatel the taste of the gid ha-anosher or whether there wasn't. Ve'im lav, kolon asurin. But if you cannot discern which is which, eino makiro, in other words, he doesn't recognize which it is, then they're all forbidden. Even if there's an overwhelming majority of permitted sinews, and you might have thought we would say it's bottle barov, even 1 in 2 or 1 in 3, 1 in however many there are, should certainly be bottle. But the answer is, again, it's considered to be a birio, an entire item, entire creature, literally, and therefore it's not bottle. By rote of benus and tam, but so all the sinews in there are forbidden. And as far as the gravy is concerned, it depends, you make the calculation, like bossa into turnips, whether it would give taste or whether it wouldn't. The same principle will apply to some non-kosher meat and nevela or non-kosher fish, which are cooked with other pieces. If you recognize the non-kosher meat, you'll remove that. And as far as the rest of the substance in the pot is concerned, it would depend on whether it imparts flavor or not. But if not, if you don't recognize which it is, then all the pieces of meat or all the pieces of fish will be prohibited. Again, why not say bottle barov? Because we're talking about a chaticho. Chaticho shel nevelo, chaticho shel dag. And chaticho doesn't just mean a piece, it means a significant piece. A chaticho ro'uya li'iskabed is the expression the Gemara uses, the kind of piece of meat which you'd be happy to serve up to a guest at a meal. If it's a significant piece, then it's not bottle. But once again, as far as the gravy is concerned or the other ingredients, that would depend on the ratio as to whether it gives taste or whether it doesn't. Mishnah Vov. Noyheg bitahura v'eino noyheg bitameya. It applies to a kosher animal, but it doesn't apply to a non-kosher animal. There's no issa gid ha-anosher in a non-kosher animal. Whilst you will obviously tell me, well, a non-kosher animal, you can't eat it anyway. So what's the difference whether there's a din of gid ha-anosher or not? And this we have two explanations. Either we're holding, the Mishnah is holding ish begidin benusin tam, that gid does have taste, and we're dealing with non-kosher meat, it's true, but it's a question whether issa chal al issa, ain issa chal al issa. The Mishnah here is saying, ain issa chal al issa, since you've already got one issa, there is no second issa of gid ha-anosher. And therefore, you'll only, were you to eat it, you'll get malchus for eating non-kosher meat, but only the one set, you won't get malchus for eating gid ha-anosher. Alternatively, we're holding ein beginim benoshet nosin tam, and therefore the chiddush is that even though it's a non-kosher animal, since it's completely tasteless, there's no issa at all. I will tell me there's an issa to eat a gid ha-anosher. That is only with a kosher animal, alkein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael. That they may not, there's a special issa of the kosher meat which you normally eat, you may not eat the gid ha-anosher, but it cannot apply to the non-kosher meat because B'nai Yisrael can't eat that anyway. So the gewaldige chiddush would be, you could eat Chayra, the Gid HaNosha, because there's no Issa Gid HaNosha, and it's completely tasteless, like chewing a piece of rubber. And therefore, no harm done. Ein anug, bitumeo. Rabbi Yehuda imaf bitumeo. Rabbi Yehuda holds, it does apply to a tumeo, because he holds, Yesh beginim benos in time, there is taste. And therefore, indeed, one who eats the Gid HaNosha of a non-kosher species gets two Isurim, one for eating treifas, and one for eating the Gid HaNosha. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, "Halo mibnei Yaakov nesa Gid HaNosha v'dayim behem b'tumea muteres lohem." He makes a very nice argument, Rabbi Yehuda. He says that the Issa of Gid HaNosha was given to the sons of Yaakov, and non-kosher animals were still permissible at that time because the Torah hadn't yet been given. They had the Issa of Gid HaNosha, and they didn't have anything else. So all animals they could have eaten. There's no reason to distinguish between kosher and non-kosher, and they were given Issa Gid HaNosha, so it applies to all the animals which they could eat, which is all the animals. And therefore, it applies both to kosher and to non-kosher. Answers, I was only six Mishnayos, so I didn't need to rush. I could breathe. Omrulo, besinai nema, elashenichtav bimkoimai. The truth is, the Issa was not given to Bnei Yaakov. The Issa was given only at Sinai. And therefore, at Sinai when it was given, there were kosher animals and non-kosher animals. The Issa according to the Chachamim was only given to the kosher animals. The kosher animals which you can eat, you may not eat the Gid HaNosha. The others you can't eat any way. I'll just add to this, since we've got a moment or two, that the Pashtus is that there was no Issa at all until the Torah was given. According to the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Gid HaNosha was assed immediately following Yaakov's confrontation with the Malach. But the Rambam states very emphatically that it's a fundamental precept, fundamental principle, that all the mitzvahs we have today come from Sinai. And therefore, even if there was an Issa beforehand to the Bnei Yaakov, but the Issa, if you like, was temporary and was reissued at HaSinai to Bnei Yisrael. And we're interested in the Issa nowadays, and nowadays there's already an Issa on non-kosher meat, and therefore the Issa of Gid HaNosha, Kuntachomim, can only apply to kosher.
Sure.